What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. GEICO's been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with GEICO, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. More power to you. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
And now, insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
It's a common expression, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. However, what if the horse's mouth is filled with useful insurance tools? This is the exact case with the GEICO app. Yes, the app is free and therefore a gift horse. However, look inside the app and behold, emergency roadside assistance, digital ID cards, bill pay. Get the GEICO app, look it in the mouth, get amazing services. Thank you.
What's up, guys? Welcome to the News Podcast. My name is Salman Ali at Red Nation Hoops on Twitter. Mailbag edition of the podcast today. I figured we're running out of things to talk about with this team. They're just so good that you know, it's really hard to come up with topics every week for the show. So we let you guys come up with the topics this week. You're joined by Forrest Walker at Do Nots on Twitter. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
Also joined by Taylor Pate at Taylor L. Pate on Twitter. How you doing, man?
I am doing well, watching these Texans tee off on Tom Brady.
Yeah, so it's actually a competitive game. I figured it'd be a blowout so we'd have a longer span of time to record with. So, but apparently they're actually competitive. Hey, who knew? So let's try to make this as quick as possible because I know you guys want to watch the end of this game. So, I mean, first of all, before we start, like, have you guys seen this Zaza thing? Like, have you guys got a chance to catch up with the All-Star voting?
It keeps happening, doesn't it? It just keeps happening.
I don't know what's going on. Like, I tried to look into this, and apparently, like it's obviously his home country, right? His home country of Georgia is getting him to the All-Star game. I think he's second among the front court players in voting, at least in the West, it might be, or something ridiculous. He has like over 800,000 votes, and he's getting like celebrity Georgians to like support him. Like that's what's going on. So
I'm gonna do the rundown of so in the whole NBA, the voting is number one is LeBron James, the only guy breaking a million. Then you have in the 900,000s, you have Giannis Antetokounmpo, which is great, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, and James Harden. Then after that is Russell Westbrook, and then after that, Zaza Pachulia.
So what I figured is, like, if we can get Zaza to the All-Star game, we can get Clint Capela to the All-Star game. That's the plan here. That's what we're going to do on this podcast. We're starting it. Clint Capela 2017 All-Star game. Let's make it happen. Now I've done my research on this. I've looked up some Swedish celebrities for this because I figured we got to get Sweden into this, right? We got to get Switzerland into this.
We got to get
some Swiss celebrities into this. And Swedish celebrities. If you guys know any Swedish celebrities, that would help too. But yeah, so the biggest Swedish celebrities I could find. Let me look this up again. I just had it up. Kat Graham. So she has 3.2 million followers on Twitter. Let's get a shout out from Kat Graham. If you're listening to this, Kat Graham, we need a Clint Capella to the All-Star game in 2017. Let's make this happen, damn it. And also DJ Bobo, he's an interesting fellow. 9,000.
Yes, DJ Bobo was a great idea.
9,000 followers on Twitter. I think that's gettable. I think we can make that happen. So DJ Bobo, if you're listening to this, because I know you'd be listening to this podcast, let's get Clint Capella to the All-Star game. Come on, Switzerland.
Also, DJ Bobo, if you're listening, "Vampires Alive" remains the best song in all of Eurovision history. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. And that's the plan for this. That's the plan for today. We're gonna try and make this happen. I'm gonna make this a thing. Hopefully, Clint Capella actually becomes good enough to where it's like somewhat feasible to get him into the All-Star game. But hey, even if it's not, if Zaza can get into the All-Star game, we can get Clint Capella to the All-Star game.
Hey, get Cesaro. Cesaro is a professional wrestler on WWE. He's from Switzerland. We can get him on board. He's a Swiss Superman.
Let's get Cesaro on board. Let's get Kat Graham. 3.2 million followers right there. Right there. And DJ Bobo, 9,000. We can kick it. And my follower, like I have 1,500 followers. I'm sure we can get some of those guys to retweet it. And hey, we can make this thing happen. Let's start the trend. Let's get ahead of it. Let's get ahead. You know what? I'm going to send in my NBA vote right now. Let's go ahead and tweet it out. Clint Capella, NBA vote. Let's get this going. Maybe we can make it 2016. Maybe we can make it 2016. But yeah, that's the plan for today. Before we get into the questions, that's the go to today. If we can get anything accomplished within the next year, it's get Clint Capella to the All-Star game. That's a real go. We're going to make that happen. If Zaza makes it, Clint Capella gets it, for sure. All right, so let's get into questions. What are your predictions for trade season, considering the team needs flexibility in adding a star for 2017 free agency? And that's from Dom Hackman. So we got quite a few trade deadline questions, and I was listening to Daryl Morey on the Locked On Rockets podcast, and it seems like he's not gonna go after anything major this trade deadline, and there's not really that much out there other than Paul Millsap, and the Hawks have kind of retreated on Paul Millsap too, and so I mean basically what's out there is right now depth, right, and that's kind of what you have to go after. When you're this good of a team, and if that's the case, I think the Rockets need to go after a backup small forward, and I think they need to go after a backup point guard. And so you can find a backup point guard on the margins, like maybe get somebody like Mo Williams if he gets bought out, like by a team. Like I think Mo Williams would be a nice target, like somebody like that, somebody who can just dribble and shoot threes. Like that's why I liked Pablo Prigioni for this team. But yeah, just somebody like that, like you can get a vet PG pretty much anywhere at this time, and a veteran small forward, and that's where it gets tricky because everybody wants a wing nowadays. So you know, somebody like Thabo Sefolosha from the Hawks, that'd be a great target. I think you know, like there's quite a few like perimeter.
You know what about Thabo Sefolosha?
What?
He's also Swiss.
Let's get Thabo Sefolosha on this Clint Capella bandwagon, damn it. I'm going to tweet him after we're done recording. Let's make this happen, damn it. Like that's our goal, man. We got to get Clint Capella in. All right, but yeah, a backup small forward and a backup point guard on the margins. I think that's a realistic target. I don't think they need a backup big anymore. Their production from the big man positions have been pretty decent. I think Nene has stepped it up big time these past few games. He's actually been playing well, and I'm pretty proud of him for that. And Montrezl Harrell, although he still can't rebound, he's done a nice job of filling in the gaps defensively for Clint Capella. I think they're fine at the big man positions. Although if they target one, hey, if you can lock up a long-term big man, I'd always be okay with that. Yeah, but for me, it's backup point guard, backup small forward. What about you guys?
Yeah, a 3-and-D guy would be huge, and I think an insurance policy for point guard would be super useful. So I think if you could somehow like lock every Knicks executive into a room and blackmail them into trading Courtney Lee, that'd be fantastic. But other than that, I don't know how you'd do it. There's not a ton of real 3-and-D guys. There's a lot of guys who are, like, kind of defensey, will be willing to shoot a three, but not a lot of them are actually good at both of those. Despite the fact it's an archetype, it's surprisingly not common. But I think a backup point guard is totally gettable, and I would kind of be surprised if they didn't upgrade from Ennis at the deadline.
Yeah, I see them. If they're making deals at the deadline, I think it's going to be fairly minor. You may see KJ McDaniels get moved. You may see Ennis get moved if they can do that. You know, I've said for a while on Twitter that if we can just get a league average 3-point shooter in Corey Brewer's position, it will open up so much for this team, because right now those corner threes are like they are a dominatrix over Corey Brewer, and you know, it makes those daggers that the Rockets could have where they clank out and the run just ends and the other team gets down on a fast break and it just kills the Rockets' runs.
Yeah, Corey Brewer's been really bad these past two games. He's been so bad. It's a pain to the eyes. Where are the Corey Brewer truthers, by the way? I know you guys exist. I know you guys are out there.
Oh, they've been in my mentions. That's where they are.
Yeah, they're in my mentions, too. Like, I know you guys are out there. Where are you guys? I haven't heard you these past two games. Where have you guys been?
I don't know. I got told that Corey Brewer shoots 70% at the rim, and then the next tweet they admitted that he only takes like 2.1 shots per game at the rim. Like, okay.
They should get in my mentions because we'll have a nice time and it'll be fun and civil.
Yeah, and that actually leads into the next question. Any realistic, so like, I think this guy's looking for names. Any realistic name targets for the Rockets? Do you think KJ gets minutes if Brewer gets traded? As I mentioned before, I think Thabo Sefolosha's, I think that's a realistic trade target. I think, any wing you could find, out there right now. And it's tough because there's not that many available and every team needs a backup point. Every team needs a wing. Like, that's just the position of need in the NBA right now. That's the deficiency that everybody wants to target right now. Any wing that can just shoot threes and defend, that's really valuable. And so if you can find somebody like that, that's who I'm thinking. Can you guys think of any specific names off the top of your head that might be available for the Rockets?
Yeah, the difficulty is that, like you said, wings are in high demand. And I think that a lot of times, especially mid-tier players who are available, don't get shopped publicly because that kind of lowers value oftentimes. So it's really hard to tell who's actually gettable and who's people are willing to trade. Like, I think a lot of teams are going to listen to phone calls, but a lot of them are going to be calling out offering their players. So I don't know, it's really hard to, like, this is hard to predict. We're not talking like, oh, there's rumors that, you know, Carmelo is looking to get out of Denver or whatever. There's not like big trade rumors swirling around apart from a few of them, so it'll be surprise names, and there's no way to predict who's going to be, I think.
Yeah, and I think Taylor, you're campaigning for Tim Hardaway Jr. if I'm not correct. Are you still on that bandwagon?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Not only is he an upgrade over Corey Brewer, he's a somebody that you could sign long term that would be really good for this team.
Tim Hardaway Sr. might be an upgrade over Corey Brewer. That's mean. No, I'm sorry, Corey.
Doesn't make it any less true.
It's not mean. It's true. Possible that KJ gets minutes if Brewer gets traded. I'm not sure. This is a tough question to answer. KJ's kind of been like phased out of any and all rotations, like even garbage time. I don't think he's even getting garbage time minutes anymore. And that's pretty surprising to see. Like, I don't know what's going on with him. We speculated on this podcast before, you know, maybe it's an attitude thing. Maybe he's just not as good of a defensive player as we thought he was. Maybe he's just not good. You know, there's always that possibility. Like, maybe he's just not a good player. Like, I don't know what it is with KJ McDaniel. He just never seems to get minutes. What do you guys think? Do you guys think he'll get minutes if Brewer gets traded?
I think if he were going to get minutes, he would be getting minutes.
Yeah.
I don't think KJ is that good, honestly. He wouldn't be that. I mean, sure, he's more athletic than Corey Brewer and, you know, can finish a lob here or there, but he can't shoot threes, and his on-ball defense really isn't very good.
I like this question a lot. Thoughts on MDA's influence on Nene? He looked pretty useless when he arrived, but now he has a spring in his step, and his confidence has grown. And that's from Acqui Iyer. Yeah, I think he's had a pretty decent impact on Nene. Nene's been good. Like he was really bad at the beginning of the season, and we've talked about that so much on this podcast. But I mean, he's been good these past few games. He's stepped it up. Defensively, I think he's been average, and I think that's good for a backup big. And I think, especially like with against big and bulky guys, you know, there's not really a set starter for this team at the center position since Clint Capela has been out. And he's been kind of playing on and off whenever there's a big bulky dude that the Rockets need to defend, like a Pau Gasol or LaMarcus Aldridge or anything like that. That's when he's been starting, and he's done a good job in those positions. I think he's had a tremendous impact on Nene. And I think more importantly, I think just playing backup big has had an impact on Nene that's been really positive, because I think starting was just a huge task for him. It's hard for him to stay healthy in this league. And, you know, Mike D'Antoni's done a good job of resting him on the end of back-to-backs, and he's responded well to it. He hasn't missed many games due to injury, if at all. I don't think he's missed any, actually. And I think he's had a good impact. What do you guys think about this question?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, as he's gotten more comfortable with the system, you kind of see that any big that's playing with James Harden is productive. You know, if you can finish wide open layups and or dunk the ball and or pass even a little bit when you catch the ball, you're going to be in good shape. And Nene's, you know, he's a smart player. You know, he's been able to make those passes from under the basket out to the corner three, and you know, he finishes well at the rim, and his defense has been average, and I think that's, you know, that's more than you could ask for, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, I mean, to some degree, he's probably playing into shape a little, because that's how players always work, and especially older players. But I think more importantly, he's just kind of getting used to the team, like y'all said. Like, he's getting in there more. Chemistry, in my opinion, chemistry is just players knowing what each other are going to do better than the other team does. So as he's getting more used to the team, his chemistry is developing and he's finding his role. So it's nice. It's nice that he's playing up to what we'd hope he would play up to.
Yeah, and well, we always knew he wasn't gonna play as bad as he did at the beginning of the season. Like that was like we knew that was gonna, you know, be in a that we knew that he was gonna. I don't want to say regress. What's the other word for regress? What's the opposite?
Progress.
Progress to the mean. We knew he was going to progress to the mean eventually, and he's done that. I'm pretty happy because that's another big in the rotation that the Rockets badly need. I think that squashes pretty much all Kosta Kufis talk, because that was the reason the Rockets kind of went after Kosta Kufis, right? I mean, because the bigs were kind of unproductive in the beginning when Clint Capela originally got hurt, and since then they've been really good, and so, you know, it's not really any need to trade for a big anymore now that you got Montrezl Harrell and Nene playing at such a high level. One of those two guys is going to fall out of the rotation when Clint Capela comes back, and it's going to be interesting to see who that's going to be. I this is actually one of our questions, like, who falls out of the lineup when Clint Capela comes back in that big man position? And it's tough. I think Harrell kind of falls out of the lineup, but I'm not sure if I'm willing to bet on it. Like, who do you guys think falls out?
I think optimally would be situational, because realistically, I think that Clint Capela is going to kind of be eased into it a little bit. And also, D'Antoni has had a tendency to play Clint Capela kind of random at best minutes. They tend to be a little on the low side than what we expected. So I wouldn't be surprised, or I would hope that they would just kind of use different rotations depending on how the game is going and what opponent they're going up against. Because I think there's some good versatility between those three centers. But realistically, I'm not really sure how it's going to go.
I think that you may see Nene get maybe a couple extra games of rest, and, you know, where you can get Harrell still getting playing time and still being effective and continuing that chemistry with the team. But yeah, I certainly think Capella is going to need to be eased back in. I certainly don't want him coming back and, you know, risking any kind of re-injury or, you know, the whole playing out of shape like he was at the beginning of the season, because that wasn't pretty. And so I think that you'll kind of see maybe like a 33% split between the three of them until Capella's back in shape. And then, you know, I think eventually Nene will end up getting more minutes towards, you know, especially in the playoffs, you know, but I think that you will see maybe more rest for Nene towards the end of the regular season and Harold getting some more playing time.
Are you guys at all concerned about the injury bug that's caught up with this team, like lately? That's been a thing lately, right? Like Patrick Beverley's playing with the hurt wrist. Eric Gordon just returned from injury, you know, guys are going down slowly but surely with injuries. Are you guys a little bit concerned about it, or you guys thought this is going to happen eventually?
I mean, it's every team. Everybody goes through this stuff. As long as they're fine by the playoffs, that's all that really matters. And I think that the injuries they have currently will be fine by the playoffs. But check back in with me when something else bad happens in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll... I mean, every team's going to have some injuries. And I do think that maybe Bev should rest a couple of games sporadically. Because he's not getting any better playing with his wrist like that. And I would hate for it to be something that ends up being long term off of something, you know, so small.
Yeah, that doesn't seem comfortable, right? Like just like playing basketball with a hurt wrist and shooting, and especially when you're asked to be, you know, what Patrick Beverley does is, you know, have active hands, shoot a lot of three pointers. I mean, and he's, you know, actually shot the ball well with the hurt wrist. I mean, that's got to be pretty uncomfortable. And he's saying after games that it hurts like hell. That's something to watch going forward. I hope the Rockets medical staff knows what they're doing here by continuing to let him play, because I gotta say, having Patrick Beverley but in the playoffs is going to be so crucial against these guards in the Western Conference, especially even in the first round. If you go against a guy like George Hill, man, like you need Patrick Beverley healthy by the time we get this team gets into the playoffs. And these are real questions we need to start addressing, because I mean, hey, we're at the 41 game mark, and if this is at all a nagging injury, I think now is the time to nip it in the bud and, you know, take 2 weeks off if you need to. Hey, it's better to struggle now than going into the postseason. I think the Rockets would rather have him, you know, rather be safe than sorry with Patrick Beverley. This is an interesting question and kind of arrogant from the emailer. How many awards can the Rockets win? They seem to be favorites for Coach of the Year, Sixth Man of the Year, MVP, and Executive of the Year. I think Eric Gordon seems to be the front runner for Sixth Man of the Year. And if I were to bet, like that's the award I feel most confident in the Rockets winning this year. Also, right after that is Coach of the Year with Mike D'Antoni. He seems to be running away with it, although Coach Fizdale is putting up a hell of a fight there. And Pop's back into it, because the Spurs continue to spur. In, you know, every year you start to doubt the Spurs.
They didn't spur today.
They lost to Phoenix. But I mean, hey, the Spurs are playing like really, really good defense with LaMarcus Aldridge and Tony Parker and Pau Gasol in the starting lineup. So, Pop gets my like second place defensive player of the year. I mean, not be defensive player, coach of the year vote.
I give him that one too. Why not?
I mean, yeah, give him defensive player of the year too. I mean, he's amazing. So I mean, and Zach Lowe has this thing where he'd give Pop the coach of the year every single year, no matter what, because he's the best coach in the NBA, and it's hard to really argue with that. And Harden seems to be the front runner for MVP. I'm a little skeptical about that, although a lot of Rockets fans seem to be a little bit more optimistic on that. It's hard for me seeing him win a voter's battle with Russ. What do you guys think? Like how many awards can this team win? They're having a hell of a season. They're on pace to win 60 games, and you know they have major front runners in all these categories.
Three.
Damn. Which ones?
it's those three. Those are the three. Okay. I don't think they're going to give you more than three, but that's the number.
Executive of the year, man. Daryl Morey. Let's make it happen.
He's not getting back.
But think about this. I looked up a stat. I mean, like, I saw a stat on Twitter yesterday from Jonathan Schumann of NBA.com, and the Rockets have, I think, the biggest boost in net rating since last year, and they've really only made two free agent signings, and they're up. They're gonna win like 19 more games than they did last year. And you know, I think he deserves some consideration. I know the GMs don't really like Daryl, I mean, if he was gonna win this award, he would have won this a long time ago. You know, after they traded for James Harden, after they signed Dwight Howard, he never seems to win this award. I think it's probably gonna go to Bob Myers. But yeah, I don't think it's unrealistic for me to say he's gonna be in the race.
I think the GM of the year, or executive of the year, as it's actually called, that award tends to be on a 1 year delay, I think. So I actually think whoever had the best summer a couple summers ago is likely to get it. And it's maybe it might be Cavs, it might be Griffin or something like that. It's just hard for Morey to get it.
Griffin's a really good choice.
Morey didn't do anything big last summer, and the stuff he did this summer is still going to pale in comparison to what Myers did, so I just don't think he has a shot at that award.
Fair enough. Well, what about you, Taylor? How many awards do you think they can win, and what awards do you think they're front runners in?
Really, I think they can... It's either two or three, and I'm probably going to go with two, and they're going to win two of either... MVP, Coach of the Year, and Sixth Man of the Year. Any combination of those two, I think they could win. I would say if I had to pick one for them to win, that it would be James Harden for MVP. I mean, if he keeps this up, you know. Like I said, Tim Bontemps, however you want to say his last name. The guy that... said Harden was the 13th best player in the league. he polled 90 media members and I think other executives, and basically 61 of them voted for Harden. So, you know, if that gives you any kind of small sample size, he's at least so far a pretty heavy favorite.
This next question is terrible, and the reason I say it's terrible is because it's pretty much only directed at me. Why are you so negative about James Harden winning the MVP? It's because I'm gonna believe
life
when I see
experience.
I'll believe it when I see it. And the reason is like everything. Like, all the numbers, historical precedent, everything says that James Harden should win it, right? Like he theoretically, like, he should be the MVP, right? But, I mean, everything last year said James Harden should have made all NBA, right? Like he was an 8th seed, he put up 29, 7, and 7. Like, that's all NBA numbers, and he didn't make it, right? And, like, stuff like that just happens with Harden. Like, I don't think voters like Harden. Like a lot of these people that vote for their awards, like, are the same guys you hear on League Pass every night complaining about Harden drawing fouls, right? Like, people just don't like him. Like I remember...
Can we talk about Steve Kyler for a second?
I mean, hey, let's do it. So
Steve Kyler... of Basketball Insiders released his media vote for the All-Star game, and he voted in for the West. He voted Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook as the guards, and his reasoning was that he wanted a true point guard in the team. So, you know, you look over at his East votes, and naturally, there's no center. There's no true center in his votes. It's two small forwards and a power forward. And, you know, stuff like this is the only thing that holds me back from really just committing and saying Harden's going to be the MVP, because there are people out there that just don't like him. And I don't know what it is or why or you know, whatever. But, man, to not put Harden in the starting lineup for the All-Star game is pretty insane.
Yeah, this is the same guy that complained about Harden like laying down on the court like in the playoffs in Game 5 last year after they were down by 30. And like Harden had played 37 minutes that night. He was just laying down and he was just watching the game. And, you know, he put up a picture like complaining about it. And he's like, you should be cheering on his team. Like, who cheers for their team when they're down by 30 points? Like, who does that? Like, are you going to do that? Like, you do that, sir. Like, you go stand up and cheer for your team while you're down 30.
I don't know. The All-Star voting thing, I can't even. Someone among Russ, Harden, and Curry is going to be left off the starters for the All-Star game. So that's where I stand with it. Someone's getting shorted no matter what, and I'm just not going to worry about it anymore.
Yeah, I don't care about All-Star. I mean, as long as you get into the All-Star game, it doesn't really matter to me. Like, All-Star selections are really what people look at the end of your career. But I mean, as far as his MVP thing, like, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. Like, I just think people just don't like him. Like, and it's that sounds like a Houston for inferiority complex, but I mean, I'm being serious. I mean, it's just, you look around, like Harden got, like, there were four people that voted Harden fourth place, in the MVP race, like 2 years ago when he was right, when he was up and he was neck and neck with Steph Curry. There were four guys I checked in the balloting that voted Harden fourth place for MVP. Like, that stuff just happens, right? Like, there's just guys out there that are just like that. And there's more than you think. And there's more, and there's a lot of people paying attention to this Russell Westbrook.
There are dozens of us.
Yeah. There's a lot of people paying attention to this Russell Westbrook triple-double thing, and they're obsessed about it, you know? And, I mean, I can't really blame people for not being impressed by Harden's, by Russ's season, but I mean, to be infatuated with this triple-doubles numbers that's ultimately what I think is going to end up costing him the MVP. That's why I'm negative about it, man. Like, I'm sorry, but that's just, I'll believe when I see it. He seems to be the front runner right now, and that's important to acknowledge. Everywhere I've seen by major outlets, like, he's being ranked like number one in pretty much all MVP ladders. So that's something of note. I think give this 10 more games, and then if he's still the consensus front runner by then, I think he's probably going to win the MVP. It's not like I'm saying he doesn't have a really good chance of winning it, because obviously he's probably one or two at this point. Like, that's what's, you know, I mean, at least we can have a consensus on that. And this next question, I really, I love this next question. I feel like you sent this in, Forrest. How do I enjoy
this? This should be good.
Yeah. How do I enjoy this team knowing they're just going to lose in the playoffs to the Warriors? I mean, my best advice to you, man, is, like, they're just a really fun basketball team, man. I love watching this Rockets team, like, so much, probably more than I've enjoyed watching any Rockets team. And I love watching this team. Like they're just so fun to amazing to the eyes. They're so aesthetically pleasing. Harden's playing the best basketball of his career. They shoot a bunch of threes. They make a lot of threes.
They never say die.
Yeah, and they stay in a lot of games, right? Yeah, that three pointer keeps them in a lot of games, and they're having a lot of regular season success. And I think it's going to translate to at least some postseason success. So I mean, my best advice to you, man, is like, yeah, I know the Warriors are out there, and I know there's this inevitability factor in the back of everybody's mind, right? But I mean, here's my advice, man. Like, my favorite basketball team of all time was the Mike D'Antoni Suns, right? And they never won a championship. You can enjoy a team and not have them win a championship, right? Like, that's possible. You can enjoy this group of guys playing their heart out every night, and probably know in the back of their mind, like, hey, they're probably not going to beat the Spurs, right? Like that's how it was with Mike D'Antoni's Suns, and like for this decade's Rockets, it's probably going to be like that with the Warriors, unless they make a major superstar acquisition, right? Like, and I think it's fine, right? At this point, the Rockets are in that place where if somebody gets hurt, you're right there, right? Like, if Kevin Durant rolls his ankle, you're right there to swoop in and, you know, make the series interesting, right? Like, just enjoy it. Like, that's my best advice for you, man. Like, there's no reason to worry about the Warriors right now. Like, we're midway through the season, and we're not even sure if this team is going to be in the conference finals. Like let's wait for that to happen before we start worrying about the Warriors.
No, that's a loser's mentality. No, here's what we do. Look, there's no point unless you go all the way big. So what they have to do is they have to convince Andre Iguodala to be the mole again. And he will betray the Warriors for the Rockets, and that's how they'll beat the Warriors. You got to think big. You got to be ready to win by any means necessary.
I mean, if anything, you can sign Demo again and have his back sweat win him a playoff series. I mean, that'd be nice. I mean, like, and yeah,
we'll win someone else a playoff series.
Let's make it happen. Let's get someone to sweat on the floor and let's roll somebody's ankle. No, that's messed up. Let's not do that. What about you, Taylor? What are your thoughts on this question?
So, you know, I feel like this team, they have such Western Conference Finals, you know, potential. It's just, I just don't see them, like, somebody's going to have to get injured for them to get past that. You know what I mean? It's not, like, they're very good. They're a very good offensive team, and actually they've been really good on defense since December 1st. But it's like when it gets to the playoffs, again, it's one of those weird like James Harden things. Like it's like those same calls that he gets all year, he just does not get at all in the playoffs. And so I feel like their potential is slightly capped until, and I guess, you know, there could be something done at the deadline that would change things, but I feel like it's just like the Western Conference Finals is their peak for this season.
Yeah, I kind of think that they are maybe the team that's second most likely to beat the Warriors in a playoff series after the Cavs, because they do just have such a high powered and sometimes unstoppable offense that they might just be able to get hot for 4 games out of 7. And if that happens, there's really nothing anybody can do about it. But I still don't think they have a realistic shot to beat the Warriors in the playoffs, if that tells you how I think about the league right now. So,
yeah. My best advice, man, just don't worry about it right now. Like for right now, let's wait till we get there. Like they haven't even made it past the first round. You're worrying about the Warriors, man. Like relax.
Yeah, chill. They're gonna lose to the Grizzlies in the first round. It's fine.
Yeah, I mean, they're really good. Like they are really good. They have a case for to be the favorites to make the conference finals, and a lot of people have them in the conference finals. As of right now, but I mean, right now I just say, man, like this team, it's not like you get one chance to beat these guys, right? Like this team is probably going to be together next year, right? Like unless the Rockets make some crazy acquisition this summer, I mean, most of these parts are still going to be here. I mean, the only major free agent, I mean, that's getting minutes right now, I mean, it's probably Nene, and you can probably find a stopgap center for Nene next summer, and you can get a chance at these guys next year, right? Like there's going to be chances to beat these guys, and here's my thing, like, there's 28 teams that aren't going to get to the finals, right? Like there's 28 other teams that aren't going to get to the NBA finals this year. Like you really shouldn't be worried about it right now. And like there's 29 teams that don't win an NBA championship. Does that mean like you're just have a bad season if you don't win the NBA championship? Like a lot of people love the grit and grind Grizzlies, and I love the grit and grind Grizzlies, right? Like that was a fun era team, and like they put together a really nice playoff run every single year. And a scrappy underdog story, and like if you can put together like a string of seasons where you're like consistently winning like 50 games every year and getting past the first round every year, and you know, just being really competitive, I think that's a team to be proud of. Like I don't think you should be like really worried about the Warriors until you get there, and that's my best advice for you, man. And I love this next email question, and this is probably what we're going to end on. This guy sends us questions all the time. He used to send us old email questions. You guys complain about Corey Brewer a lot on the podcast. If you guys if you guys could pick, who is the Corey Brewer of RedNationHoops.com? That's got to be Paul, right? Right?
Like, oh, wow, he like, just went right for it.
It's got to be Paul, right? Like, I feel like the way this question is being phrased, like, it's asking, like, who's the most useless player, right? I feel like it's Paul, right? Like, who you guys think it is? Or it's me.
I mean, you can't just come out and say it. What are you doing? I don't know. Screw it. I'll be the Corey Brewer, all running around, but with no use.
I'm going to give you the Brock Osweiler answer. You know, we got a lot of guys that go out there and they work really hard. You know what I mean? Like, we've got guys that do the pregame show, the pregame write up. We got guys that do the postgame write up. And you know what? When they write these up, they're giving their best effort, you know? And so all of our guys go out there and they give us the most effort that they can possibly give. And at the end of the day, that's all you can really ask of anybody. And so I think that, you know, hey, we might have lost the game because I threw six interceptions, but you know what? We tried really hard, and that was we played a really good team out there. So,
yeah, I changed my answer. It's Taylor. Taylor is the Corey Brewer of RedHNoops.com.
Immediately.
So that's a good podcast today, guys. We're gonna do these mailbags a lot this year because we're running out of topics to do. So I mean, hey, just send in your questions, tweet at us, send us your emails. We got a lot of email questions today. And we'll answer them, and it makes for a pretty good podcast because, again, we're running out of things to talk about. So yeah, Clint Capela 2017 All-Star Game. Subscribe to us on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher. Give us a good rating on iTunes. Give us a positive rating if you enjoyed the show. If you didn't enjoy the show, give us a positive rating anyways because that helps us out. And yeah, guys, good night.
Knows more isn't always better, unless we're talking about full-size vans. These beasts do more than get you from A to B. They have so much space a man can live in it. With shag carpeting, waterbed, and a sweet lava lamp, these mobile abodes have all the comforts of home. With quality parts and plenty of Napa know-how, you can keep the original tiny house running longer, stronger. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. Yes, while GEICO could help you rack up more moolah faster than you can say metamorphosis, they've also been the fastest growing auto insurer for more than 10 years. That's more like it. Furthermore, GEICO has fast and friendly claim service. That might seem like an oxymoron, but it's not. All the more reason to say no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. GEICO, expect great savings and a whole lot more.